2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
I want to get you an update right now on Mayor Mendenhall's press conference that wrapped up moments ago regarding a mask mandate in Salt Lake City's public schools.
Paul Nelson joins us right now. Paul, was there anything crazy that happened? What did she have to say?
Nothing crazy per se, but she did kind of double down, we should say, and just kind of reiterate her claims as to why a mask mandate would work. She pointed out to data about vaccination rates in Salt Lake County, and she pointed to words of Dr. Andrew Pavia from University Health, who says that the biggest reason why there is such an increase in the amount of kids who have the Delta variant is mostly because masks are not being mandated in schools. And so she is saying that is something that has to keep happening in Salt Lake City. She already had the mask mandate for schools already. This is one of those things where she can only keep the mandate in place for 30 days just on her own. So she has to go back to the council and they have to reapprove it. And so she used this data to kind of back up her message of this is why the mask mandate is needed. We need to keep the Delta variant down, and that mask mandates, in her opinion, are the best way.
Paul, we want to let you get back to work there at City Hall, but my understanding is she's going to be recommending tomorrow at the City Council meeting that they vote to extend the mask requirement in public schools in Salt Lake City.
Yes, that is exactly what she said here. She said, I want them to reapprove the mask mandate in Salt Lake City because, in her mind, she says that is the best way to keep the Delta variant down.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio, thank you.
Debbie, I'm looking at the state website, the coronavirus.utah.gov, and it tracks how many cases have been in each school district. And as I look at Salt Lake School District, most of the active cases or the active case total is under 5 for just about every school, whether
in
it's
Salt Lake
a high
City?
School in Salt Lake City,
okay.
In the Salt Lake School District. So we're talking West High only has 6 active cases, 7 total for the year. But East High School is under 5 cases. If you compare that with, say, Davis School District, which has many schools that are at least over 5 and 10, 15 cases, you can see a very distinct difference between the schools that have mask mandates and schools that do not.
We're going to continue to follow this development here at KSL News Radio. Of course, the City Council expected to weigh in Salt Lake City tomorrow on the mayor's ask to extend the mask mandate in Salt Lake City. I want to make a note of that. Salt Lake City Public Schools for another extended period of time. Again, following that with KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson. Thanks so much, Paul, for jumping on the line with us. Turning now to Lindsay Ertz, also of KSL News Radio. Good morning, Lindsay. You are tracking a wild story that happened in Salt Lake City this week at a soccer game where a bunch of people wound up fleeing the soccer field because someone brought a gun.
Well,
what do you know?
This wasn't actually a soccer game per se as much as it was a tournament with about 8 teams in place,
wow.
Debbie.
Okay.
So you can imagine there's hundreds of people at the Regional Athletic Complex in Rose Park. And apparently, according to witnesses, there was a dispute, and this is according, police have not confirmed this yet. I want to be very clear about that. The police haven't confirmed what happened here, but witnesses are saying there was a dispute between two spectators on the same team. And one of those spectators brandished a gun, and that just caused everyone to panic. And then so people who aren't near this thing must have heard gun, flee, and then they assumed active shooter, and so everyone flees. And I talked to one witness, her name is Erin Shepherd, and here's how she described what happened.
Let me find that. Here we go.
And one of the defenders just yelled, active shooter, run, run. And so, I mean, everybody, no one saw a shooter or heard a shooter, but everybody just started running crazy and, you know, screaming for their kids and trying to find their kids.
So then they get to the south side of this complex and there's a fence there. And we have a picture at KSLNewsRadio.com of parents and pushing their kids over the fence, jumping the fence, scaling the fence to try to get outside the complex. And then they just run into people's houses that are on the south side of this complex. And there was about four different just people who live on the south side of this complex who let these 60 teams into their homes to kind of shelter in place, if you will, because they thought there was an active gun situation.
Which makes total sense, right? If you hear active shooter, I'm not looking for any confirmation. I'm out of there.
Well, and this is a youth soccer tournament, right? So these kids have grown up in an era where we have active shooter situations.
But there was no good way out.
It doesn't sound like it. Yeah, and that was one of the complaints I heard from witnesses is they sort of felt like sitting ducks in this complex.
I'm looking at that photo. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz referred to it as at KSLNewsRadio.com, and it is a showstopper. My heart just flew out of my chest when I see these parents and these kids trying to scale what looks to be an 8-foot-tall chain link fence. And some people on the other side trying to help folks get over and kids get over the fence. That must have been all out panic there, Lynn.
Yeah, and that's really how witnesses are describing it to me. And so the details on what the situation was are still fuzzy with the gun situation. However, the panic that ensued is really kind of the story here of how people were just fleeing and running. And what one witness told me, this was at a time when all the teams were changing. And so all the teams were on the field at one time. So there was just a massive amount of people out here.
And obviously here in Utah, we have a lot of weapons, more than 75,000 registered weapons here in Utah. But brandishing a weapon, which is taking it out in a threatening manner, that is a Class A misdemeanor. So this is a very serious crime, and you can see why, because this was a chain reaction. Somebody gets in an argument, they brandish the weapon, and then it essentially starts a stampede of families and children trying to run away from the scene.
That's a great point, Dave. I also want to point out we don't exactly know why this person brandished a weapon. Was it in self-defense? Was it in a confrontation? Were they upset about a score? Were they mad their kid wasn't playing? Or were they just fighting with somebody they knew on the sidelines?
And someone on Twitter mentioned that this could have even been a domestic dispute. So again, these details are ones we don't have yet because police have not confirmed them for us, but these are just all witness accounts that are sort of saying this, and so we are trying to figure out exactly what happened between the altercation.
What are you looking to find out from police today, Lynn?
Well, I especially want to know that I saw a Twitter thread where someone said that this parent had a restraining order against him. He was not supposed to be around, so I want to find out if that is indeed true. And I also just want to find out the altercation between and the relationship between these two individuals to find out if they're both have something to do with one of the girls on the team and whether that was related to the dispute.
Lindsay Ertz, thank you so much for talking about this, because this is a story that has slowly unfolded over the weekend. But as you paint this picture, it's a terrifying I can't imagine. If I'm a parent there and my kids, how do you wrangle them all up and make sure you're running to safety if you think there's an active shooter? A terrifying scene at a soccer match. Thank you so much for reporting on that.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.